sixth meeting of NCSD. Can we all rise for the flag, please? Salute and pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. Thank you all for coming. We have a roll call vote for attendance, please.
Mrs. Lair?
Here.
Mr. Simon?
Here.
Mr. Mendoza?
Here.
Chair Van Sickle, Mrs. Smock?
Here. Okay, four of us are present. The first item on the agenda tonight is the approval of minutes. This will be from the regular meeting on February 21st. As soon as everyone is comfortable with the minutes, I entertain a motion to approve them. Didn't find any problems with them. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
So we're getting situated.
Yeah, I've been running all day. This is the third meeting today.
Okay, I have a motion by Director Blair. Do I have a second?
A second.
A second by Director Mendoza to approve the minutes. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Motion passed unanimously. Second item on the agenda tonight is a public comments period. If anyone is in the audience would like to speak to the board, we ask that you limit your presentation to 3 minutes. Not a question and answer period, but you're welcome to ask questions. We just might not answer. Now, these would be for items that are not on the agenda. Anyone like to speak? Yes, could you please state your name and have at it?
My name is Gary Chiallo, 136 Hazel Lane.
Okay.
My understanding of the board is past is considered and probably will be considering it here in the public sewers down in Hazel Lane. Express my feelings that not everybody probably in that area is in favor of it because of what the impact of the on our way of living. I'm actually born back in the way of Randy, and I've lived almost all my life in state parks, and I moved to Napoma for sort of a rural setting. And sewers in general, I think, are an improvement to an area, but when it increases the density to beyond what we anticipate, I think that's when it becomes an impact.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fiala. Could you spell your last name for the minutes, please?
F-I-A-L-H-O.
L-H-O. Okay. 136 Hazel Lane. Okay. It's your opinion that there might be some other people out there that feel as you do?
I know they're here.
Okay. All right. Any other...
In fact, we have another party from Hazel Lane right here.
Okay. If you wanted to give your name, we could put it in the minutes.
Richard Chandler.
Richard Chandler.
154 Hazel Lane.
Richard Chandler.
Karen Chandler, my wife.
Okay. Karen Chandler. Are there any other public comments for items that are not on the agenda tonight?
I do.
Yes.
My name is Beverly Chapman. I'm a former advisor group and the Palm Community Network. We received a agenda item in regards to the possible request for a planning commission, a local planning commission. And we are and would like to invite the board to work with a community group to form a committee to set up a conference. I've ordered materials from the League of California Cities in regard to what that is, and I know that your board has attended Wilcox meetings, so you have information and maybe if you could share, we could put together a conference where, in fact, we could invite the citizens to see what the positives and negatives of that are. That's all I have to say on that matter. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, Mr.
Mr. President, the board directed staff to write a letter to the county requesting that, and prior to doing that, staff went out and contacted the more people in the community to see what input that they would have. And NAG and maybe the Old Town Group would also sign the letter going to the board of supervisors requesting it if they so agreed. So that has not been sent out yet without getting more concurrence from the community.
And I would like to suggest that we have a conference and actually get input from a wide variety of the community prior to sending any recommendations to that. That would be acceptable to your board rather than sending the letter. You know, one of the things on here is the possible enhancement between the Planning Commission and the Tacoma Community Service District, and I'd like to just start there right now with them and work together on this kind of a project. And possibly looking at a localized planning commission as well as having a conference encompass things as far as what functions the service district and the possibility of incorporation. A conference that would explain all these things to the citizens that could be taken through the community to gather consensus from all.
When do we know if we have enough support to send a letter? Can we make the letter generic enough just to express the interest?
I get, yeah.
Just so, you know, something is there in their possession. Maybe not get into the specifics on it, but we don't have any specifics to date. We just kicked it around at one meeting. It was really just kind of tossed around as to how this might occur.
It came from the meeting, obviously.
Yeah.
And I went to their NAG meeting 20 months and tried to explain to them we weren't going to be on the Planning Commission. It was the Planning Commission for the people.
Right.
This board.
Yeah.
This board wasn't going to be on there.
Can't hear you, Bob.
Okay.
Up a decibel or so.
Up a decibel or
oh,
two.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went to the NAG meeting, and I tried to explain to the NAG meeting that this board didn't want to be at the Planning Commission. We want a separate Planning Commission for Napomo. Some counties have two Planning Commissions that are just answerable to the Board of Supervisors. And NAG seems to feel, and some of the other people seem to feel, that we'd do better with our own Planning Commission. But this board is not going to be the members. The audience or the people from Napomo are going to be the members.
Right.
The people from our organization want to actually get a consensus prior to making a statement that we are for it, because we don't, you know, there was only like 40 or 50 people there for the entire, so we don't want to make that decision without, you know, doing a lot of research and getting community consensus together.
Yeah.
But, and we would love it if you guys would work with us, because hand in hand, you know, the conference would have been make a lot easier to put on a conference if you work with us. And I know that Bob said he went to the SLOPOC meeting, so he has information that he can share. And then I have information that I have shared, and we can get the right speakers to come and explain all the different situations to us.
Okay. Any board feelings, responses? Got any idea when the first meeting along these lines might occur?
We would have the Census Steering Committee that would research this. And probably within the next 3 weeks, we'll have a meeting to find that meeting. Or we can all sit here and, you know, we can just set a date, have a meeting, and I can do the call.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other public comments on items that are not on the agenda tonight?
Just for clarification, and I'll hold off until you come up with some consensus on the planning.
Yeah, it sounds like that's probably prudent.
And are you coming in and you want to join and look at this for something at conference together?
Yes, yeah, definitely. So we should have one or more representatives there, if nothing
well,
more than just...
public meeting, so there'll be no problem. You know, we'll have it to be a public meeting.
Right. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, there were two of us at their last meeting. That's pretty good representation.
Oh, okay.
I attended the meeting today.
A SLOPOC meeting.
SLOPOC meeting.
Right. Okay, anything else? Public comments? All right. Item number 3 on the agenda tonight, then, is under Board Administration. This is regarding the status of a potential building site for a new district office. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the district has been in contact with the county regarding the 1 acre parcel next to the district parcel across the street. The 1 acre parcel goes from the in lane to Test Street, and there was a conceptual aspect a while back that the district could trade water for acquiring the county property. A memorandum of understanding was approved by your honorable board and sent to the county, stating that concept that the district would be willing to trade water to the county park in exchange for the 1 acre parcel. That has been submitted to county council for review. In the process of talking to a number of people, they indicated that there may be some form of cloud, which is speculation, on the property, mainly because it belonged to, I guess, the Dana estate at one time, and when the railroad came over, it was dedicated to the railroad use and with a reversionary clause in it. And here again, this is all speculation, hearsay, that once it was not used for railroad purpose anymore, it would revert back to the original property owner. In the process, when it was not used for the railroad anymore, taxes became due on it, and the taxes were not paid, so the county acquired the property for lack of payment of taxes. There's some question of whether a proper notification was given by the county to pay the taxes. Anyway, since there may be a cloud there, and it may take some time for it to clear up, an unknown length of time, if there is one, it suggested that the district proceed with building the building on the existing property the county owns, or the district owns. And we'll go ahead and have the architect start proceeding on drafting up some plans and coming back to the board with some sketches and directions. It'll be the architect will be given a direction that it'll be put there with a concept of eventually, if the 1 acre parcel comes part of the civic center as a general plan so states, it would be coordinated so that it could be incorporated in a total overall concept of a civic center.
Would that mean just positioning the new building on the existing lot more towards the vacant acre?
Not necessarily.
So it could be connected by a driveway or breezeway?
It could be, but it's unknown at this time.
Okay.
When the architect starts coming up with concepts and laying out the structure. But I suspect it would probably be on the westerly portion of the property. Mm-hmm. Easterly portion could probably be a parking area and landscaped depending on what happens for future expansion. The building, the architecture has been notified that design it so that it can be expanded in the future, whatever direction the community takes. Mm-hmm. Going either two-story, it's much easier to pour a foundation for two stories. It just takes another 6 inches of concrete, very reasonable at this time. Instead of trying to come back and retrofitting it. So, 10, 20, 30 years down the line, if you want to go two stories, you have a foundation to do that. Also, it can expand out both directions.
And we might want to, the architect might want to orient the entrances and exits to the building, at least allow one maybe more near Taft, something like that.
Yeah, and if the county property comes being, it could be put a driveway there and approach that way into the property. So it's still flexible.
Any board questions?
Make a comment.
Yeah.
The people should know, too, that this new building is not really going to cost, I don't think, the ratepayers any more money than what we're paying in rent in this building. We're paying considerable rent here, and that money every month is just going down to the people that own the building. Where if we put the same amount of money into this new building, it's not really going to cost the ratepayers anything more. And in the end of 20 years, the district's going to have a building, which is good business. So we don't. I know there's a rate study out there, and some people say, well, they're going to build a new building with the rate money. That is not the case. So if we build a new building, it will be because we'll probably save a few dollars at the end of the month, I would hope.
That's the concept.
Plus, this potential expenditure has been identified in the budget, in the last two running budgets, and money's been allocated for it. But that's a good point. What we're considering is leveling the old building and building a new building where our old building now sits. For those of you that didn't know. Yes, Mr. Fiala?
Is there any possibility of considering any additional space for any type of community service?
We thought about that at one time because we had some inquiries from the county and from the sheriff's station, post office. But it turns points out to, you know, the more parties you involve, the longer you drag it out time-wise. We had a lot of maybes, and no one has upfront money except us to build it. So that's a problem you run into. Nobody's, you know, not everyone is ready at the same time. So I think our latest concept is around 3,000 square feet. Is that
about 3,500?
3,500, which is kind of larger than what we have right now, but not by a whole lot. It provides us some more storage area.
Has it been possible in the planning process that if funds become available, they could add that space to that existing building?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to ask the architect to keep in mind. Flexibility, both in adding, potentially adding a second floor, and or adding onto one end of the building or the other.
Yeah, if such funds come available, they should be identified within the next 6 months.
I did call the county in regards to the cloud on the title, and they said that they would be back to me. This was about 5 days ago after I said it. They said they'd be back to me in a week. They would do a title search to find that out, because they, as far as they were concerned, there was no title on it. So they would get that information you may have in the next 3 or 4 days. They were running a title before that.
See, the main reason why we wanted to acquire the other piece of property is it's a better location because it's right on Test Street. But the other thing is we could have left the old building. And the old building may not be the best building in the world, but like you had your meeting there the other night, and like he said, there could be use for the community because the old building's paid for, and with a little bit of maybe tweaking and renovation, we could serve the community.
We've been, of course, another half. Director of the Salvation Army.
Right.
For instance, in the months of January and February, we put out the equivalent of over 5,000 meals a month. Those 2 months.
Well, that's what I'd like to see, but I don't know what
people
the county
are
going to do.
It's certain.
That's a good point. Any other public input, comments, or questions of us or the manager?
Someone's calling you.
Well, it may be that you want to set a meeting up, find out before you make your decision, find out from the county if there is a crowd on it, and that would be only 1 or 2 days.
Yeah.
And also maybe meet with the downtown business associates again and sort of toss around some ideas of how to jointly be utilized in combination with these brackets.
How what can be jointly utilized? The building?
That's
what we got into before. And you know, it just drags out the process so far that we're at the point now where we want to wash our hands of it. We want to build what we need, but keep the plan such that we add it to. We've been talking about this for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, you might want to go ahead and build it.
Actually, we started when Bob Paul was still our manager, and we hired a guy named John Joseph Jones III. You know, J cubed, we called him. I still have a model. We have a model somewhere of our new building. Never got built. Mm-hmm. Now, 6 years ago.
That's true.
So, I mean, we're almost fed up to here. Maybe that it wouldn't hurt one more phone call or something, but how's the board feel about this? Any inputs? I'm not against calling one more time to try to clear up this thing on who actually owns the property, but I don't want to enter into a bunch of negotiations.
Clear
at
title
this point.
To the property for the water, like you know, like you said, which I think is advantageous for us. I think it's a good thing if the county will move on it. We got to get them to move on, not ride the merry-go-round like they usually do.
Did you get any response back regarding the majority of the contents of the memo? Memorandum of understanding. I mean, this cloud popped up. I mean, what they feel about the exchange and all that?
Well, that was from Ruth Bracken mentioned there was a cloud, and somebody else mentioned there was a cloud on it. I got it from two separate people.
There's always a cloud.
You know, and who knows? The correspondence went to the General Service Department and contacted them. Said they sent it down to County Council for review.
Okay.
Maybe some of those clouds are big, white, and fluffy.
Yeah.
You know, they're
blue green.
With a silver lining.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere between years.
I'll contact the county again, find out what the status is.
Okay. Anyone against that?
I'm all for it.
Okay. Any more public comments? Yeah, as it stands here, we're not going to take any action to turn on the architect to the old site yet. We're going to pursue county coordination. few days more. Okay, that wraps up item number three. Item number four is regarding the November election schedule. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, we received a notification from the County Clerk Recorder Election Office indicating the procedure for or timetable for placing measures on the November 5th general election ballot. Their schedule indicates as of June 18th is the last day to submit any items that would be put on the ballot measures or the election. The board previously had talked about going back to the voters with respect to either a turnout or supplemental water. If that's the case, then the board should proceed on that. And we have the last board meeting before the deadline would be June 5th. And if the board wishes to do anything in that aspect, all the items should be cleared up and submitted to the county and approved by the board by June 5th.
Okay, and we have till longer to pass a resolution to consolidate the general election, right? That's in August,
right?
So we're not pressed to do that, but the more immediate one is the June deadline. We have to agree on wording,
right?
Full text of the proposed measure.
I don't remember.
Yes, that's correct.
Director Blair and Director Simon, then. Was there a committee put together to review it?
We haven't met on that yet.
No.
No, we're going to do that.
We should plan that next week.
Well, you guys have a committee plan for taking a stab at some wording, the wording of the measure, is that it?
Discuss the measure, yes, wording and other things. The
proposed wording.
Concerned with it. I think we have to get a constituency in terms of people that are... people understand what it's all about. I think there's a lot of confusion out there that some say you can't vote on it no matter what. Others say, yes, you can vote on it, and so on and so forth. I think we should get some legal understanding that that this is indeed and can be done.
Can you give us the 5 minutes on why this isn't state water and why this is something else?
Well, there's... The board can consider a number of directions here, but assuming that, for one thing, it's pretty clear that that if you take a look at the definitions of what state water is, the state water allocation has been used up, and the county has sold its excess state water, and the purpose of...
They haven't
sold their excess, you're correct, thank you. They haven't sold their excess state water, but they're in the process of selling the excess state water. What the thought, there's two thoughts here. One is that you would request the county board of supervisors to, which is AKA the county flood control district, to authorize an emergency turnout. The district has gone before the county flood control district requesting authorization to put in a emergency turnout, and that's been refused. One thought is to go to the district, or the board has discussed in the past, is to have a ballot measure authorizing the district to establish an emergency turnout on the state water pipeline. As you recall, the county flood control refused that request on the basis of the prior elections, saying that there would not be popular support within the district for that option. So that would be one potential action that could be placed on the ballot. Another one would be to go a step further, for example, to authorize not only an emergency turnout, but authorize the district to seek supplemental water. Would be one step further that you could go on the ballot. And you could go further than, I don't know.
We're seeking supplemental water now, though. I mean, as far as investigation goes, you know, talking about it, you know, potential sources.
Correct.
I mean, so that's not something that needs to go on a ballot as far as acquiring a supplemental water.
You're right.
Water source.
It does.
For delivery, you need a turnout.
For delivery, though, you do need to turn out. If you're going to use a state water pipeline.
If you use a state water pipeline. pipeline conduit to transfer.
Right. And you kind of have to remember, I know we've discussed this many occasions, and a lot of this is has to do with overlying bureaucracy in seeking state water. But you have to realize the master purveyor in San Luis County is the County Flood Control District. And all the other purveyors, like Morro Bay, Pismo Beach, Oceano, are sub-purveyors to the County Flood Control District. So any water that is transported through the state water pipeline would have to be through a contract with the County Flood Control District. And so the district could consider that even though the district requested an emergency turnout, for example, under Scenario A, you still have to speculate as to how the County Flood Control District interprets what an emergency turnout is. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you have that one other layer of authority, so the district could, you know, be as aggressive as it wanted to be to clarify what it was seeking in hopes of not facing an argument from the County Flood Control District that this isn't an emergency and this, and you know, the ballot measure only supported you taking water in an emergency. Now, of course,
this is the very thing that's causing the confusion.
Sure, exactly.
People hear you and they say, well, I guess we can, but I'm not positive. And someplace along the line, we've got to get very positive about this thing,
right?
Because I think it's important that people do understand that we're working our best to try to get it to work.
Right. And all I'm saying is if a measure is replaced on the ballot, the broader it is, the more likely it will be given a liberal construction by the County Flood Control District, who ultimately has to approve any contract for the transportation of water in the state water pipeline.
Voted or not voted,
correct.
They have to approve it.
Correct. They are the master purveyor.
Why don't we go to them first then and try to convince them of the need for it?
Well, I think Doug has tried that. Right when I came on board as district council, Doug was down there requesting an emergency turnout and was on the agenda for approval and received the support of staff to establish an emergency turnoff out on the state water pipeline. But it was defeated on a 3-2 vote on the basis that the prior election...
But Doug didn't have five or four other people going with him to talk to the flood control people, and maybe with those other four we could find some way to convince them that this is the thing.
Sure.
I think we should try it again.
I think so too.
Go ahead, Bob. Bob was wanting to say something.
I talked to Doug about this morning
to say what you say.
Maybe we could give this to the press and let the press print this picture and let people see what we want. What we want is a valve like this, which is just a flange, just a blind flange, which is just 4 times bigger than a fire plug, or 10 times bigger than a fire plug. But what it is basically a fire plug for Napomo. This is all we're asking for. This is about $7,000. The district can pay for it. The fire department has written us a letter. We have it in the files. The fire department is very much in favor of this because we have two or three things that affect our water in the fall. The oil companies out there may pollute our water. Casmelia may pollute our water. If that happens, it's going to happen like that, and we should be able to react to it. And we should have a pipe that just comes up and blind flanges to this, so in case we wake up some morning and we're pumping a bunch of gook, we can get permission from the state to hook into that water till we get our problem solved. Not to keep using water forever, but just to get it problem solved. And maybe the press can print something like this, show the people what we're about, and we can go back to the county again, take our support. The fire department since then has come out for us. And it's a matter of growth policy with the county. They think that growth is going to come from this. There's no growth going to come from this turnoff. State water is done. There's no state water for Napoma. They sold it. And the election, you look at the things on the election, 368 people voted against it, 348 people voted for it. That's the first
one.
But still,
three to two, you guys were humiliated.
Yeah. But still, you're looking at maybe 1,500 people against the 19,000 people that this thing's going to affect.
A vote is a vote.
I understand that. We're not asking for a vote for state water. All we're asking for is so that we can put our pipes in and plan for an emergency. That's all we're talking about.
Let me is this the discussion portion of the meeting, or you got to quiet until we...
Yes. State your name and
go right ahead.
Sure. Okay. Randy Matthews. You want to stand up, or can you hear me okay?
Go ahead. Maybe the mic.
Please. Yeah, I think it should, for the purposes of recording the comments, I think it would be appropriate to step up.
Step up, sir?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Randy Matthews. I live on Sandydale Drive. And I just feel we have a credibility problem with the NCSB on this particular issue. We all look like pretty decent guys, but I can't believe that this is coming up again. And maybe I don't have the full story on what's been discussed, but from what I've seen in the paper, it's beginning to look like a little bit of a shell game, just as also from what we were hearing for an explanation here, on what supplemental water really is. Is it state water? Is it coming from somebody else? Who's going to pay for it? And when we talk about emergency water, if I recall, the last time we had a major drought in the Central Coast, all of California, or Southern California, south of San Francisco, the current subscribers, which I think was about 4 years ago, to the state water program were not getting anywhere near their allotments. So my understanding is with the emergency turnout for state water is where would the water come from anyway?
Okay.
If we had an emergency. Now, I realize we just heard an explanation from Bob about...
We're not going to rehash that because that's not the issue.
All right. What is the issue?
The issue is, as far as I'm concerned, Napoma is not involved in state water.
Right. Okay. Well, that's not what I've been reading.
Well, that's what you're hearing me say now. Okay. So let it soak
all right.
in. Because I was... Because Paul will remember how I stood on this years ago.
That's right. I talked to you 4 years ago.
I still stand the same way on it.
And we had a good discussion. So explain it to me.
Well, it's pretty much what Bob said. This is an emergency turnout at a very low cost for an emergency purposes only. Oh. Now the thing is, you got to define emergency. With my, current knowledge, how I would define emergency, act of God, earthquake,
oil spill,
toxic contamination, something along those lines. It does not mean approving 8-10% growth rate over 5 years and then finding out you need water and then hooking into it. I would not support defining emergency as that.
That's fine, but Stephen Small might not always be sitting here for the next 10 years either. Where's our guidelines?
Right. Well, that's what we're hoping to get together to define these parameters as far as what, an emergency is and what exactly are the conditions under which a hookup to this thing would be allowed, making the hookup active.
Now, the way I understood it in the paper, though, that the emergency water could be state water. Is that correct?
No.
Then the articles that have been written in the paper, then, either it's been a misunderstanding or...
If there was
something not getting out, where would the water come from?
Can I address that?
Yeah.
Basically, if emergency turnout was established, then the district would negotiate with some other water agency or the state in the aspect of the emergency drought bank to deliver water in case of emergency.
Okay.
And where it comes from, it could be another state contractor buying a certain, like the city of Santa Maria, they have excess. Say, on emergency, can we have 100 acre feet of water?
What would we do right now?
If we had emergency,
yeah.
We'd dry up.
And it would be...
You'd be pulling water in truck. I mean, if you could find it. If we lost our well fields...
Okay. So, really, the only time we would have a situation where probably water would be available to us if we had an emergency would be an explanation like Bob mentioned.
Catastrophic.
With a catastrophic where our groundwater was polluted. But if we had a drought condition, there's not going to be any water to go around anyway.
Well, Northern Marin Water District, when there was a major drought, and I can't remember the years, in the 80s or 77, 73, or yeah, that was a real drought year, the driest year in record in California. They got, I think, 20 or 25% delivery. They went up and negotiated with rice farmers in the northern portion, bought water for $25 an acre, wheeled it through the system, and got 90% delivery.
Okay.
And so that's the flexibility of the state water project.
Right, but last time was about 4 years ago when we went through the last drought south of San Francisco down here. Now, don't you recall the figures were there was nowhere near enough state water available to support the current subscribers to state water. That means there wouldn't have been anything for us, emergency turnout or not.
Well,
let's say in that example.
Well,
but the other thing is, the groundwater ever been polluted by any of these major, like Union Oil or anything? And has Napomo historically ever had its groundwater polluted?
Not that I'm aware of, but the water quality situation out there where the Union plant is worsening. And whenever you draw it down too far, well, then you got to worry about intrusion. The likelihood becomes more prominent.
Okay.
You know,
but,
another possibility is...
No, we hope it never happens.
But it hasn't. And
we get
a
freak storm and knocks all the power out.
It happens around my street.
Well, without power, we don't pump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we got so much water for a certain period of time.
Yeah, let me get Mr. Fiallo, and then I'm going to get Paul.
Can't you get an emergency generator?
We have an emergency generator, but...
I know that.
I mean, it's not capable of running our big wells.
Let me get Mr. Fiallo.
I could bring you one just like that.
You want to get up here? I don't monopolize this whole thing.
Mr. Fiallo, go ahead.
Is items like Santa Maria able to put a valve? What I'm getting at is could the district make some agreement with Santa Maria in an emergency to be able to buy some of their excess and you have them put in the valve at this time?
It's possible, I guess.
Anything's possible.
The point is, I think, just to clarify that one spot, is a valve will not go in that pipeline without the county flood control approval.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. I mean, that's...
Right.
We can't cut a deal with Santa Maria or anybody around the county flood control district.
No, let's talk... Yeah. Did you want to expand on something, Paul? Because
I had a couple ideas.
Go ahead.
How many kW your pumps are, but, geez, I could bring a portable unit in there just overnight. I mean, in a matter of hours. You know, you need my phone number?
Well, yeah. We make contact.
I'll leave it with you because, obviously, you don't know the right people. But I got a question. How many communities around here have these emergency where they could supply their city with water in the event of a catastrophe?
We have an intertie with Cal Cities in our system. It's the five cities area are all intertied.
Mm-hmm.
I think San Luis, I'm not sure about San Luis, but other agencies, almost all of them have some form of intertie backup system.
And we don't.
That's correct.
We have no reservoir. There's no Lake Napomo. See, all the rest of them have a lake or a reservoir or something else.
Mm-hmm.
If Casmalia, you go look at Casmalia. Those ponds in Casmalia are not the same level as the ground in Santa Maria. They're about the same level or higher than the Napomo Mesa. Is that right? Am I wrong?
Casmalia is elevated.
And water sinks its own level. If that stuff sinks into the groundwater, there's no guarantee. Everybody thinks it's going to Los Angeles. They don't know where it's going. And that stuff can get into your groundwater overnight. What we're talking about is just strictly emergency. I mean, if we have to go before the flood control board, they're going to put it in stone anyhow what we can do with this. And that's all we really want. It's just a blind thing. We don't,
Why didn't anybody think about this before we annexed Summit Station and annexed Black Lake and annexed all these other areas before? Why didn't we think that, we have this fragile resource? What happened, Alex? What happened, Steve? I mean, you guys were on the board. Didn't you guys think of that?
Sure.
What happened?
You're talking about a water right issue.
Well, if the water is contaminated,
I got outvoted.
It doesn't really matter how many people.
Yeah, right. If your water system's shot, everybody's going to be waking
up
with
water. Okay, let's go one at a time so we can get it in the minutes right, but instead of everyone speaking at once. Yeah, let me recognize Mr. Slater here.
See, I hear this discussion, and the question of emergency or backup water supply is always, which one you choose, is always a matter of policy. But you don't have to look any further than the earthquake that happened 2 years ago in January. The entire community of Santa Clarita and a portion of Valencia was without water for almost a week. They were boiling water, and if they could get it, and there was no emergency available backup supply. So the primary directive of the Metropolitan Water District in Southern California is to make sure all of its water suppliers have an emergency backup source. And it can happen to your groundwater. In Fresno, the community of Fresno had a tremendous amount of unknown pollution show up, and all of a sudden about half of the city's wells were knocked down. So the question of whether the state water project or the pipeline itself is the correct policy choice is one issue, but certainly I would suggest to you that emergency and backup water is fundamental, essential.
The concept.
I got a question for you. You talk an earthquake, and an earthquake, what's the first thing to go?
Depends on the location. I wouldn't venture to say that. Depends on where the earthquake hits, where the faults are, and where the vulnerabilities are in the system.
I was in Kalinga in 1983 during that earthquake.
We were all in California during various earthquakes.
Yeah.
I think the question is from an engineering standpoint, where are the points of vulnerability? And I don't want to get in an argument about whether it's a pipeline or a desal plant or whatever. It just seems to me.
See, this isn't just NCSD. This is Cal Cities. I'm talking, this would be for Cal Cities too. The people are on Cal Cities. If the water system goes out, it's everybody, because Cal Cities draws from the same place we do. So it would be emergency water for not just NCSD, but for all of Napomo. Because if the wells go out, you're going to have some place where people can come and get bottles of water or tankfuls of water or something. What we're just trying to do is look for the worst-case scenario. We don't want the worst-case scenario, but if it comes, it's like if your lights go out in your house. If you've got a flashlight there, you can get around the house and see where you're going. If you don't have a flashlight, you're going to fall down and stub your toe. I don't want us to stub our toe. That's the main thing I'm pushing for.
I think the general concept is for good management of a water agency is having a backup system, whether we tie on the state water line or a separate pipe up to the Lopez line or maybe tie into Santa Maria. It's best to have a backup system for the residents of the community. And now if you get against that, then shoot, I don't know, against some other.
Right now we have an intertie with Cal Cities, and we're a larger provider than they are, so it's not a secure situation to be in.
But they jumped in.
How about the headline in Saturday's Telegram Tribune? Did the reporter have the story wrong? Right on the Saturday paper, Napomo wants state water. Within this they had it wrong.
Yep.
Within the article, it talked about it if the NCSD went into an overdraft situation, that we would want that the NCSD would consider using state water to supplement. That was within the article. Now, what that sounds like to me, this was wrong, is depending on who the current board is, somebody can declare an overdraft, but the credibility on this problem, nothing against you guys personally, but I have my doubts about whose figures were actually correct. And then I can see somebody turning on the pipeline, all of a sudden we've got state water flowing in on us. That's my perception. That's a pessimistic viewpoint, but
if that's what the article said, then
that is what the article said.
I didn't read the article, it was wrong. But I'd say that article is wrong.
Well, where did it come from? Then?
Because
they can print anything they want, really.
Well, hold it's it. Not, I realize they can print anything they want, but obviously somebody came out and talked to one of you guys, didn't they?
The Telegram Tribune was at a meeting that we had from the Pulmonary Advisory Group. There was a discussion on an emergency turnout for a really cheap interim policy against problems in the future. And at that point in time, the Telegram Tribune called my office and asked for Mr. Simons and Mr. Blair's phone number, and she said, well, we want the information on state water. I said, they don't want state water. They want an emergency turnout to protect the citizens in the future. And she said, well, I want to get information on the state water. So In other words, she had it in that her way of pulling you in to read the article. Newspapers do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, they put state water and people read it, you know. So basically, that's to pull you in. That's any writer does that.
The premise about, you know, someone being in an overdraft and then needing state water, I mean, God, that's a foundation in which the state water project was funded in the first
place. Well, I realize that.
You know, I mean, that's an old issue, which I'm not going to...
I realize, but you see what I'm talking about, though.
Right.
Somebody declares we're in an overdraft, and all of a sudden you've got state water running on a regular basis.
We believe we're in an overdraft now.
Okay. Well, today.
Nobody has.
So, I mean,
you answer my question. Yeah, every city in San Luis County and some down here in Santa Barbara County, once the costs have been rolling in on state water, there's a few of them are trying to bail out of it. Other ones have come in for a real shock on the problems associated with it. So,
right.
I'll quit.
Yeah.
What has state water? Does anyone know what state water the state water lines have cost the citizens in the Palmo that aren't even going to have state water anyway, unless they sell that? In other words, you paid a certain amount towards that state water line anyway, unless they sell that. So what have you paid already and got nothing for?
Everything that's we've paid a portion of everything that's north of what's identified as the coastal aqueduct. And that's been on the property taxes since early mid-1960s.
So basically all property owners have been paying for something they're not even using.
But there would have been a substantial increase in what property owners and customers would pay if they had been become part of the coastal aqueduct. Because then you're talking major capital improvements.
Yeah.
You said your full name, sir.
My name is Paul Lewis, and I live on 155 West Price. The lady brought up how much it costs. Well, let's talk about how much these elections have cost. I mean, we had one. That probably cost, it was minimal, maybe $8,000. This last one, that one, you know, I spent a lot of time, money, hours, going knocking on people's doors, getting a consensus. We probably spent in the last two elections probably $50,000. The board has spent it. I mean, I had no control. You guys spent about $50,000 on a losing election. Something that we just took the money and just flushed it down the toilet. And there's no responsibility. I mean, you people... Three strikes, you're out. Mr. Blair, if you lose the election, will you quit?
No, I won't quit. Because what I know...
You just want to sit there and spend our money.
No, I'm on a well, all right? When you get up in the morning, you're on city water. You turn the tap on, it comes on, because we provide it for you. I'm on a well. When I get up in the morning, I don't know if I'm going to get water or not. And I need backup water. I can't explain to you. If you've never got up in the morning and turned on the shower and there was nothing there, you take an altogether different view of things.
I have. Did you hear me? I said I was in Kling in 83. I was in an earthquake. I know what it's like to have my water shut off for a week. I've been there.
That would seem to make you then the biggest supporter of having this emergency system.
No.
Why wouldn't it?
Because you could just turn it on whenever you want. You say, I'm going to overdraft. It's an emergency. I could turn it on.
I apparently haven't listened to the conversation because they said it was only going to be used for emergency systems.
Right.
You've got to put your belief someplace.
What constitutes an emergency?
That's what we need.
I don't trust you.
That's what we need to trust.
Thanks so much.
I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. You guys created this.
We're making a record of your comments here. I just soon have one person speak at a time. If you start talking across each other, then there's no record at all.
Clearly, as I stated earlier, we need to define what an emergency is. That's one of the things. That should be first and foremost. We also need to bring some proposed wording on what a ballot measure might be. Whether it takes a subcommittee or not, get a paragraph or two paragraphs together, bring it to a meeting, put it out there so we really know what we're arguing about.
Okay. Well, my final comment is I'd like to see some responsibility. You know, I'd like to see Mr. Mendoza, Mr. Simon here. If you guys want this election, this three strikes, you're out. You know, you guys, will you quit? If you lose again?
Again, I wasn't here the last time.
Well, how about
so he's on strike one.
Let me tell you something. I lived in an area where there are 1,000 other people that weren't here the last time. They were not in the district. But let me tell you about how their vote would go. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Think about that
about
just a little bit.
Hey, I've won 2 already. Bring it on.
What nags
you know,
is
what,
a public
good?
What nags appropriate? What one of the 29th meeting is a public meeting, and I think that's what we should have first. I, you guys wanted a public meeting. You should get a public meeting, get him, and get everybody in there and see what the public wants. Because if we can go to these people and get this without an election, it's going to save us about, what, $3,500?
$8,000.
At least that.
Huh?
About $8,000.
Basically, what was brought up at the meeting is there needs to be a community consensus. And it not only it needs to be on the people that are within a certain district, it needs to be on the water purveyors that would be utilizing it, and the cost maybe should be directed that way too. And if the cost is small, then I'm sure that none of the companies would have a problem with sharing in a $8,000, $7,000 amount, you know. And what my thought was is if there was somehow that a meeting could be set up with the water purveyors and you create a joint effort towards doing this and bringing this forth to a committee to explain, you know, to or a public meeting to identify, like you said, put together some proposed wording to how the emergency turnout, not on an election, because maybe you don't have to go that way, but on the wording that you would be supporting to get the emergency turnout. And, you know, your job as, you know, what you're doing is not a matter of controlling those growth or anything else. You're just providing services to the best of your ability. And I think too long that water and many of our resources have been used as a growth control measure, and that's not what they're supposed to be used for.
Sure.
Yours is whatever you have available to you and you serve the people. And I would work hard with putting that meeting together, and maybe Lisa could help me correlate it with the other water purveyors. And that's what this bracket also suggested that we do. Get together with all the water purveyors and see what their needs are and see if they can work together in a cohesive way to provide a service to the entire South County area and you know, sharing one turnout or maybe two.
Mr. President, maybe it'd be wise that two members on the board of the committee get together with NAG and everything else and you know, kick things around, come back to the board with a recommendation.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I'd like to volunteer for that.
Why don't you put it in the form of a motion?
Okay. Well, we're still kicking it around, but this meeting would be on the NAG, I guess in our old facility maybe.
Well, if you want to do, I will have to set up the meeting. I don't know what
date.
Just tell me
if
you want to do it.
Okay. Well, is there anything else on item 4 which we have to consider at this point?
No. I mean,
okay. So this is the only remaining issue. Okay. Yes.
Beach may have water that it can sell you, basically, which makes it sound like state water to me, so...
No, that's supplemental water.
You know, and what's that? And then the turnout to the state water pipeline, I don't know what other water would come through the state water pipeline, so if I say state water, it would be that, even if you just use it for an emergency, it's still state water, yeah. Am I wrong? I mean,
see, like Doug said...
I mean, I'd like to understand, if I have it wrong, I want to understand...
What you got to look at when you see that... When you see that big pipeline, what you really got to see is a whole bunch of little pipes inside it, because there's all kinds of water comes down that pipeline.
There's all kinds of water coming down the state water pipeline.
Right, because there's all kinds of districts. water's sold like a commodity, like tomatoes or turnips or whatever. And it comes down there as different people own it, and they can sell it to different other people. And state water may be gone, but you can buy what, Lodi's water, Fresno's water, Palm Springs water.
But you can buy their state water, right? There are a lot more of the state water.
Well, it's not necessarily, it's not really their state water either. I think some of it's federal water too, isn't it?
Well, I think it's just a matter of definition. I think it is state water because that's what everybody is talking about. When they look at the pipes, they say, oh, there's the state water. Yeah. Everybody, I don't care who they are.
But you're not paying a premium up front to get this turnoff. In other words, if you contracted for state water like Avila Beach did, you're paying the state water project so much money. That's the problem they're having. That's why they want to sell their water. If Napomo gets this turnoff, all we're paying is a $7,000 to put the turnoff in. We're done. I mean, there's no water, there's no contract, there's no obligation. It's just like a fire plug out in front of your house. It never gets used unless your house catches on fire.
Maybe
Mr. Kane.
Dean Kane. Doug, maybe I'm wrong, but I think there was an error in that article. I get the telegraph tidbit. I got on Saturday. I read it. Wasn't it my understanding when you said, like, if St. Pismo Beach has water they want to sell, they couldn't sell it to us because we're downstream from them anyhow?
It depends on the capacity of the line. I think, and maybe Mr. Slater can correct me, but it's my understanding in semantics, all the water in California is state water, even the water we pump out of the groundwater. It belongs to the state. Okay? But by definition, all the water in California belongs to the state. And so I think, you know, we're semantic. People that contract for state water are state water contractors, and they're getting state water. If you're not a contractor from state water and get supplemental water from someplace else, since all the water is in the state, you know, we're, how do you cut it? You know?
Basically, though, you don't have to buy it from the same area that the state water is being directed from. You can buy it from the farmers down the street, and you can put it in the state water line and pipe it to your pipe. If in fact there was an emergency and there was good water there and not here, and there's just a traveling fee. Is that correct?
Well, when you get to transfers, I mean, you get into a whole different ball game. I mean, there's a big issue down in Imperial Valley about making transfers and everything else, and DWR, even the state, even finally got into it and told the water agency they're circumventing state law regulations. And so you're looking at a whole different issue when you get to, you know.
So it can't be used for transportation of any water at all?
You can transfer water wherever you can get. And Mr. Scott Slater is probably more expertise on this than anybody.
Mr. Slater.
Just briefly, the state water project includes two things. It includes a contract for the water supply, which comes from pumping stations in Northern California, produces water, and that water is what is known as state project water. It's sold under contracts. The Coastal Aqueduct is a branch of the state water project delivery system. It is the plumbing. The plumbing has, from time to time, during periods of drought, when there is no state water project water available, and when people are not taking full delivery, it has capacity available where in water from other places in California can be put into the pipeline and pushed from one location to another. That is not state water. It may be private water in the Central Valley. It may be water that's owned by the city of Stockton. It may be federal project water from the Central Valley Project. Its origin has nothing to do with state water. It just happens to be running through the state water project.
It's an important distinction. Yeah, let me get Mr. Matthews because he has hand up earlier.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just a question. Using Pismo Beach, for example, I think I read that they might be interested in selling some of their allocation of state water. If, for example, let's say a scenario where the NCSD bought some water from Pismo Beach, how would it be determined whether that was allocated as state water originally or rather from their other water supply? What would it do to billing in the Pomo to the NCSD subscriber?
Let me tell you what my off-the-cuff response is. At my current level of understanding, if Pismo wanted to sell a portion of its state water project allocation, I would interpret that as participation in the state water project. And currently, with the vote as it was years ago, I would not be in favor of that. I interpret that as participation in the state water project, even if it is through PISMO and they're selling a portion of their allocation. Now, if, as Mr. Slater outlined, there's excess capacity in the plumbing, and you simply use a state water project line as a conduit to transfer excess Tulare ag banked water over here, and you could quantify that, you know what's going in from the source and you know what you're receiving, that's different.
Would the cost be substantially less also?
Well, you'd hopefully to negotiate it as low as you could get it.
Absolutely,
yes.
Less, yes.
Yes.
Because you're not paying the annual carrying costs for the whole thing.
Right.
Let me ask one other question. Does the rest of the board agree with your...
I don't know.
That's his opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I could elaborate on...
That's Steve's opinion, yes.
Let me just jump in here for a second. Number one is the board has been kind enough to engage in this conversation with the audience, and I think the audience... The board wants to do that. You can't take a straw poll vote on what this board considers a definition of state water at this time. I think, just so you understand, I think it's accommodations. What they're planning to do is to bring forth language that they will take formal action on what is, answer your question, but it'd be inappropriate for you to sit back and go through each board member and say, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? When the whole point is what we're discussing is what type of ballot measure to put on the ballot. And I think the questions that are going back and forth are all legitimate, but you can't, the board is not in a position to decide at this point what state water is.
I understand what you're saying.
We could probably scope it more narrowly to where we could answer your questions. You know,
but just to kind of get it. Feel as different board as board members change as time goes on, that the wording sure. needs to be in place that the interpretation is consistent regardless of the membership of the board.
I don't think anybody disagrees with that, but I'm just saying that I think that's what the board is looking at, is forming a committee and getting community support to come up with those very definitions that you're requesting.
I don't mean to put any words in your mouth, Randy, but maybe. You know, what he's thinking is maybe we should have language in the ballot measure, and I'm trying to help you guys here. Maybe you put something in the ballot such as, you know, that in the future we will never be a participant in the state water project. You know, but we use it in emergency, but never be a participant.
Okay.
Is that legitimate? I mean, is that...
Any language, number one is, any language that is subject to a reasonable interpretation is fair language. That's number one, okay? So, the answer to your question is yes. As long, the only caveat is that that's why you'll see county council opinions and you'll see opinions in the ballot measure is what the interpretation of the language is. So it has to be subject to a reasonable, well, doesn't have to be, but ought to be subject to a reasonable interpretation so that everybody knows precisely what they're voting for or voting against.
Well, just speaking for myself and my humble opinion, that would be...
Humble?
Yeah. That would be much more palatable. I mean, that we would never be a participant. And we would just use it in emergency and not... I know I've been listening to you guys, but I've also been hearing other comments, too. I mean, we can't take a straw poll with you guys. We really don't know what you're thinking. So, you know, it's we're voting on a facade, something that's there, but we don't know what's behind it.
Well that's what the whole thing is. It's having the board come up with some type of language so everybody understands.
Well, I know. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry.
See, when the time comes, I'm sure that... You're going to know my opinion on this issue, and you know the opinion of the other board members. I would suggest to you, Mr. Lewis, that you go to this public meeting and make yourself heard there instead of venting some anger that you bring from I don't know where at us.
I'm sorry. It's something that built up 4 years ago.
You still got it. It's
I still do. I'm sorry.
See, deal with it.
A lot of knocking. My knuckles are still sort of knocking on doors.
Ms. Chapman.
Well, basically, this gentleman seems to be really opposed to anything to do with state water. But I don't believe that any document should ever say never, you know, or permanent. Anything should ever be permanent, because if, in fact, there was an emergency and there was no other water available, and we did have an emergency turnout, it may be that the voters would want to vote whether they want dry faucets or they want water. And then they should be able to have that. So please don't put never in any statement. And the one other question I have, and this talks about water quality. From what I understand, the Regional Water Quality Control Board just finished its study, and their nitrates reports and that are coming in. Did you receive a copy of that yet? Here? Well, they're in the mail. And there's a lot of problems with water. The State Region Water Quality Control Board has made it impossible for anyone to have secondary dwellings now on anything under 2 acres in the rural residential area. Even though our county board ordinances state that we can have them, the Regional Water Quality Control Board is insisting that we can't have them because the quality of water and the problem of septic tanks in the area. And I don't know what that's all about. That's coming out. So, and also in the ag and OPIC document, did you gentlemen read that? That also has to do with water. Giving water priority, the groundwater priority to the agricultural use, and domestic water having to depend on piped water. I don't even know if that's legal, but if they can even do that, but that's in the document coming out from the county.
That's the policy they gave today at the
meeting.
Okay, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, the policy today they gave us was their policy is that urban areas should use water from another source besides groundwater. And it's just the opposite of what they've been saying for the last 15 years. They've been against
it. Well, on the board, do they want to get the members together and get back to with NAG?
Yeah. Is everyone in favor of... let's have a motion to form a subcommittee.
We already have a subcommittee in place.
Okay.
I think the motion would be...
We have a motion for a subcommittee for language.
Well, we could clarify that. My recollection is that we do, but we could certainly do it again and meet with NAG or whatever.
Well, if we do, then let's go with the standing committee then. Do I have a motion to
allow a motion that we meet with NAG and talk about this problem of public meeting and emergency turn off?
Okay.
Public input.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion by Director Blair and a second by Director Simon. All those in favor of forming the subcommittee and meeting with NAG, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Yeah, nobody's opposed. Motion passed. Thanks for all your inputs, everybody. Kind of wraps up item number four. Item number five is County Treasury Oversight Committee. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, our legal counsel has gone to the County Treasury Oversight Committee and has a brief report on that matter.
Right. This is another one of the reactions that the California legislature came up with in response to the Orange County investment problems. As this board knows, we've already enacted our own investment policy. Going along with our investment policy for local agencies, the California legislature also put some requirements on county pooled funds that are a little bit different than our investment regulations. Basically, the county is mandated to form a CTOC, which is a County Treasury Oversight Committee, and that committee is to be composed of 5 members. And those members can be from the county treasury, the county auditor, from school boards or school districts, and from special districts, and from cities. Basically, from any of those types of agencies that are, in quote, authorized to invest in the county pooled funds. Also, the committee can be made up to up to and including five members of the public. The purpose or what the committee would be doing would basically be monitoring the annual investment policy of the county. It would contract for auditors to audit the county pool and meet quarterly to review the compliance statements with the county pool investment policies. The qualifications, it's kind of a convoluted committee, but with all that in mind, only certain people could qualify to be a member of the CTOC, and that's based on conflicts. For example, a member could not be on the board or associated with a bank or an investment company or those types of organizations that the county might use either as advisors or as a depository for county funds. With that in mind, our local chapter, the Special Districts Association, at its meeting, by the way, the meeting has been changed from March 7th to April 15th.
I'll get to that.
Okay, Doug's going to get to it. But one of the things that will be on the agenda at that meeting is for the Special Districts Association to appoint their delegate to the County Treasury Oversight Committee.
How many members would be on that committee?
Five total. One from special districts.
Okay. And we have in our resolution that we adopted a couple of meetings ago, at the request of Director Fairbanks, I think it was.
We eliminated the county.
Right.
We lined out automatic participation in county pool funds without county pool investment funds without.
The legislation reads special districts that are authorized, and the authorization that they're talking about is legislation from Sacramento. And so this district is authorized by statute to invest in the county pool funds. So the local chapter could appoint a member of this board to be the special district's delegate to the County Treasury Oversight Committee. However, just speculating, I would assume that it'd be more likely that a member from a district that does have money invested in the county pool funds would be more likely to be the person that would be selected, because the interest would be greater.
Yes, obviously. Maybe someone from the CSDA. Riley or Ingalls or
sure.
Moffitt or someone from that. Do you have anything you want to add, Mr. Jones?
No. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to.
Okay. Any board questions, comments? Okay. Any interest in becoming the selected member? County Treasury Oversight Committee? You have any comments or questions from the audience? Yeah, this is really just a report, no action. So, thanks for the report, Mr. Sykes. Move on to item number six then. This is the approval of warrants. The warrants are presented in the stack that was handed us this evening. A single page here. Anything that needs explanation?
I don't believe so, Mr.
Special comment? If not, then entertain a motion that we approve the warrants as they're presented tonight.
I so move.
A motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, a second by Director Mendoza. All those in favor of approving the warrants, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Well, nobody is opposed. Item number six is passed unanimously. Director Fairbanks absent. Under other business, item number seven is the manager's report. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, the board has a correspondence that the district received from the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District emphasizing that everyone's welcome and encouraged to be part of the groundwater management efforts in the area. Also, these are just information items. received information on the American Water Works Association annual conference and exhibition, which will be held in June. Some of the board members went to the last time. It's a very informative aspect with respect to water operations, et cetera. And as legal counsel has mentioned, the San Luis Obispo County Special District Association chapter was supposed to meet tomorrow, but that has been postponed till April 25th, which is the Thursday evening at the county library. It'll be at 6:30, not 7 o'clock. And at that time, as legal counsel mentioned, that appointing a member to the County Treasury Oversight Committee and probably reappointing members to the Appeal Commission plus other items to be on the agenda.
Right, I'll just, the agenda will be composed of, as Doug has pointed out, the CTOC selection. We'll be appointing a four-year member to the LAFCO Commission and an alternate. And I think both the president and the vice president position on the Special Districts Association will be up for election at that meeting.
It's not just the two representatives on LAFCO, then.
Well, yeah, a lot more.
President and vice president.
Right.
That's a Thursday.
Right now it's Bill Ingalls.
And Brian Bill Ingalls, yeah, Bill Ingalls is the four-year member, so his term isn't up.
Right.
Byron Briley's two-year term will be up, and whoever appointed there will be appointed for 4 years to stagger the terms.
Okay. Is there any rules in there that that the alternate that was selected last time, Carolyn Moffitt, does she alter?
Yeah.
Does she become a member?
No.
Does she step up?
No, because the alternate could either take over either member's position on the LAFCO Commission.
And I think that was just a two-year term also.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Could Mr. Jones maybe elaborate on the letter from the Chinnery Water Company?
It's, I can give you a copy of it.
Yeah. In terms of participation in?
This is the board wishes to emphasize that all entities are welcome and encouraged to be part of this district's groundwater management efforts. And it goes on and talks about it.
Sure, we'll give you a copy. Any other items on the manager's report?
No.
Any questions or comments from the board? Anything further from the audience on the manager's report? Okay. Item number 8, then, is director's comments. Did you want to say anything about SLOCOG?
I've been to the SLOCOG meeting three times, I believe. And the last time I went, SLOCOG was asked to recommend the freeway project for the Cuesta Grade. And there's four projects, leave it like it is, make a lane up, or make it full three lanes up, three lanes down. I've written both our state representatives. They like three lanes up, three lanes down. The Highway Patrol likes three lanes up, three lanes down. I like three lanes up, three lanes down. The environmentalists don't want three lanes up, three lanes down. SLOCOG voted for three lanes up, three lanes down. So it looks like we're going to get three lanes each way on this Cuesta Grade. Environmentalists are going to do probably what they can to stop it, but I don't think they can because I think the state has the money allocated. It's number 18 on the list of projects in the state of California. And hopefully, construction is supposed to start in 1999.
Let me see if I got that right. That was three lanes up and then three lanes down.
Three lanes down.
Six lanes down.
And there is more accidents on the Cuesta Grade than there is on Highway 46. There's more fatalities on Highway 46, but there's a lot more property damage and a lot more accidents. And, most of the accidents are in the southbound lane. Downhill, because you get all those big trucks rolling down there and nobody can get around them. And up here in the motorhome down there, it scares me to death. Because you know that there's no way you can stop once you get that thing rolling.
Drive it plastered or something like that.
No.
Just see, there's no press there, I can say that.
Yeah.
It's just a joke.
Still, still directors?
Yeah, directors' comments.
I'd like to say that that if we have any procedure for public comments, that we should adhere to it and not
allowed us to get into a almost a shouting match.
The public comment.
And I think it's incumbent upon you, Mr. President, to see if that happens. That's my desire, because we've got a guy here that can go nonstop all night long. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to control that.
Okay, no. Let me say, though, the public comments period went for 5 minutes. That was it. You're talking about item number four, which was the November election schedule. That's the one that went on and on. Yeah. I just don't like to stop people when they got something they feel is valid they want to say. But I'll try to jump
in. I think
more
you need
so
to be in control of it rather than the
but
crowd.
But when it's an agendized item.
Rather, the crowd shouldn't be in control of it.
Let's get there. Okay.
Not the crowd, but the audience.
Gotcha. The mob. Don't say the mob. Anything else, Mr. Simon?
No, I think it was an outstanding meeting. A lot accomplished.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
All right. I don't have anything. Nothing further. Let's go on to item number 9, public comments. Anything from public? Like to hit the board with before we go, Mr. K.
Well, I think that I agree with Alex. I think that it gets out of hand when you have an individual like that coming into the meeting and he goes on and on and on. He won't listen to anything that anyone says. You can't reason with him, and it comes a point where you have to sort of stop to it.
You might have to actually pick
but
that thing up.
Yes, I think you should. And also, he's playing to the press. He's not playing. Getting the exposure that he wants. You'll see his name probably in the paper, and that's just what he wants. So he can point to that when he goes out among the people. They're going to give you state water, even though that article was wrong Saturday. I know it was quoted Al Simon in there, but it was wrong, and a lot of the statements that were made, she doesn't know the first thing about what she was writing about, but she writes an article. And it's a headline article on the front page of the Saturday Sunday edition of the paper.
What paper was it in, by the way?
Telegram Tribune.
Right, in the front page, Al. You're on.
Right on the top. You're right there. You didn't
where
even
is
know it.
I didn't know it. You said Al Simon said.
Oh,
Simon said.
Simon said. God, my wife won't even let me say things like
the
that.
The family was a fistful.
What? Where would I get that newspaper? I'm not familiar with that.
I can give you a copy.
We have it.
You
get it delivered to your house.
Oh,
Jesus. $108 a year, you can get it delivered.
Oh, thanks. I don't need it, I'm sure.
Well, I'll tell her that when I see her.
Well, Case can get a copy of it for me. Yeah. Thank you, Case.
That's all I have to say on that. I think that when he comes in, he tends to dominate the meeting, and it gets out of hand.
Well, some of the things.
You know, his views, like Alex said from 4 years ago, he still has that fever with him, that hate, and he's going to let it out every chance he gets.
He sounds like David Blake.
Yeah, and
no,
I didn't say that. But saying to Doug, you don't know the right people, that's kind of a stupid remark.
He's done that before.
Yeah, that's not the kind of remark that you should make, anybody should make at a meeting.
He's justified his views, but I don't think he should inflict them on everyone and then, you know, make a big case out of this and go from there.
Okay, that's about enough. I just thought I'd try out that new,
right,
a new attitude.
It works.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. K. Anything else? Case, anything
well,
else?
Well, because you're not talking about that, like when I'm getting out of the door on the other subject.
Yeah, watch out from now on, Case. When you hear that thing hit the counter, you know.
Well, I'm not afraid of what I'm saying.
Okay. Do we need a closed session?
Yes. We'll be going into closed session on three separate matters. One is the existing litigation for an update on the state of California versus the Pomo Community Service District. That has to do with the state pipeline going through the wastewater treatment plant, and then we have anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 and Parens B to discuss two cases.
Okay, with that, we're going to go to closed session. Thank you for coming tonight. see you again soon.
One, Steve?
On the trip.
Yeah.
One way that you can do is if you sense it's going to be a meeting like this and you want to do something, is just make a statement that everybody that's going to comment gets 3 minutes. They come up to the podium and they make their statement, then they sit back down.
Make it more structured.
That's usually the county board of supervisors. You have to go up and get it. I'm not recommending that because you can just say you can line up along the side here if you want to comment on this thing, and you get 3 minutes or whatever time, reasonable time you want to put on, and make come up one at a time.
Do they get seconds? Second turn?
I don't like, my own personal feeling on that is that you can write rules like that, but once you write rules, you're stuck with them. And it's always been my preference is that the chair rules the meeting, and that's a kind of a simple rule, and then you have a certain amount of flexibility where you let him have seconds and you didn't let me, and you know, stuff. If you let the chair come up and say, you have 3 minutes, or one of the ways you can do it, you can say, is how many people would like to speak on this item? You can take a look and you can see the hands go up. In your case, then you can say, 5 minutes, or if you want, depending on how long you want the meeting to go, have them come up one at a time, state their, plead their case. And the other thing that I wanted to kind of make clear is that the board has no obligation to respond. Now, I have never known a board or a council or the board of supervisors not to respond. Okay, so I mean, I think it's
you're talking about during a public comments period,
or even during a test.